turn our attention to another display of God's greatness, His clear communication with us through Scripture. So today I want us to talk about this great God who has created the universe, this great and this good God, displays His greatness in the fact that He communicates to us. He speaks to us. Now, I'm not a trained counselor, but in my training to become a minister, that's part of the educational requirements. Take some counseling classes, that comes up. I've done some counseling with individuals, premarital counseling, things like that. And so I've tasted that just a little bit. Not a trained counselor, but even someone who is not a trained counselor, even common sense knows that if a relationship is going to work, it's going to require communication. You need to talk to one another. You need to share what's going on in your heart. You need to have a good process of communication in your relationship. No counselor would ever say to someone, "Hey, you know what? Just let them guess how you're feeling." Yeah, just don't say anything. Or maybe one way that you can punish them is just to be silent. Right? Just clam up and don't communicate at all. Every counselor, every person knows that healthy relationships require communication. That's what a counselor says with a struggling couple. Have you talked to each other? Have you worked out these issues? Silence doesn't solve problems, it creates them. So God doesn't give us the silent treatment. Parents, in your relationship with your children, what do? You talk to your children. You want to know what's going on. Children, hopefully you talk to your parents. They can understand what you're going through. Spouses, relationships, friends, all need to share that communication. Without that meaningful communication, then relationships just don't thrive. And you've experienced that when you get the cold shoulder from someone. You know, you text someone, you never hear back from them. You call them, you leave messages, and you never hear back. No explanations are given. That deteriorates that relationship. Silence creates isolation. It breeds misunderstanding. It leaves us wondering, guessing, making assumptions that are often wrong. Silence can feel like rejection, like abandonment, like we don't matter enough to deserve an explanation. You know, one thing that really gets to me is when powerful and influential people treat regular people that way. You know, we're too good for you. You know, it's just a kind of a reality of life. I go to a sporting event and I really don't expect my favorite athlete to stop, look up at the stands and say, "Todd, thank you for coming." I don't expect the CEOs of companies to respond to my requests. But that's kind of like the world is, isn't it? People who are powerful and people who are influential, people who are rich, normally they create distance. We don't have that relationship. But here's the great thing about God is that God refuses to give us the silent treatment. In fact, it's just the opposite. He's gone through extraordinary lengths to communicate clearly with us. And this reveals His greatness in so many ways. First of all, just this very fact, God's greatness is displayed in refusing silence. Now, you think about it. God, He didn't have to explain Himself to us. We sinned. We messed up this world. He could have just left us all on our own. He's God, He's creator, He's infinite, He's eternal, He's all-powerful. We're just finite creatures, dust and breath here today and gone tomorrow. He could have created us and just left us to ourselves to figure things out. He really didn't owe us anything. In fact, in many religions, that's the portrait of God. He creates, but then He just leaves it to the creation to figure things out. But one of the great things about our God is that He chooses to communicate because He loves us. He wants us to understand Him. And again, just like we interact with our family members, with our friends, it's because we love them. We want to have that relationship. We don't want distance. We want community. We want intimacy and understanding. And He does that. He communicates to us in one way because He wants us to obey. But in another sense, God is reaching out to us And he just wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants us to understand life that we are living. And it's really, the Bible is difficult in so many ways, isn't it? I mean, there are some passages that are hard to understand, but for the most part, God clearly communicates to us the essence of his message. And it's this: God is holy. He clearly communicates that. Through Scripture, he reveals his character. He's just, he's still at the same time merciful, he's faithful, he's powerful, but he's this holy God. He's clear about that. And he's also clear about the state that we find ourselves in, is that we have sinned. God doesn't sugarcoat that. He doesn't sugarcoat our condition. He says humanity has rebelled. We chose sin over obedience, and that has eroded the relationship. But then he's clear about his plan of redemption. He says, I've made a plan for you from Genesis to Revelation. He reveals to us, I've made this plan to bring us back together. He sent his son. He sent a savior to offer us forgiveness. So the Bible clearly communicates. The Bible presents itself as God speaking to us, breaking that silence. A couple of scriptures that speak to that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is... it is God-breathed. When we have the Bible, when we look at the Bible, it is God speaking to us. That's the claim that Scripture makes about himself, about itself in the Old Testament. And God said over and over again, we hear that repeated, God reveals himself through speech. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as though they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All right, so God speaking through the individuals, the individual authors of the Bible. So God didn't leave the chance. We believe that Scripture is God speaking to us. He reveals truth. We are hearing the voice of that great God, the voice of the Creator. We can communicate with the Holy One, Eternal One. So a God who speaks is a great God, and our God speaks. Second of all, when we approach Scripture, we see God's greatness in the diversity of Scripture. And this is remarkable. Also, when you read through the Bible, and many of you have just finished that journey through the Bible in 2025, from Genesis to Revelation, you see all different types of genre of Scripture. We have a lot of stories that are told. We have a lot of historical events that are recorded in the Bible. We have poetry. We have the Psalms, Psalm of Solomon, Lamentations. And so we have that portion of Scripture that appeals to our hearts and our souls. We have wisdom literature like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job, practical guidance for navigating real life. We have prophecy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of those Old Testament prophets, and even the prophets, the prophecy in the book of Revelation, where God reveals to us his plan for the future. He pulls back the curtain on future. We have law in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where he spells out, this is how you need to live, revealing the standards of God's people. In the New Testament, we have the Gospels, just these beautiful, wonderful stories about Jesus and his interaction with different people. In the New Testament, we have epistles, letters written by people like Paul, instructing people on how to live this life as Christians. So we have all this variety of Scripture. And as I was going through that list, you may have thought, that's what I like the most. That's what connects with me. I like a good commandment. You know, I like a good psalm. I like a good proverb. Or I love that prophecy. And God speaks in this diversity of genres so that he connects with us on all these different levels. It's clear and it's systematic. God knows how we're wired. He made us, and he gives us his word in all these forms that reach us. When we get to the New Testament is written in a common language in what's called Koine Greek. So it's not a religious language that only intellectual, academic people can understand. It's written in the language of the ordinary people. God valued clear communication. God values clarity over complexity. His message is for all people, whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated. The gospel is not just for elite intellectuals. It's accessible to everyone. And God speaks in all of these different ways. When you look through the Bible, what's also incredible is the unity of the Bible, the way that it all fits together. There are 66 books in our Bible, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, written over 1,500 years by at least 40 different authors from all different walks of life, some kings, some shepherds, fishermen, tax collectors, doctors, scholars, everyone in between, written in three different languages. It spans multiple continents and cultures. How is it possible that all of these books, these 66 books, all come together and form this cohesive story from Genesis all the way through Revelation? The way that it tells this consistent story, again, reveals God's greatness. I want to be clear. I want to tell you this story, and He's fit it all together so that we can understand it. So it introduces the problem in Genesis. It introduces God's holiness and the law. The prophets promise a Savior. The Gospels reveal Jesus. The epistles explain what Jesus did. Revelation shows how it's end. But it's one story, one message, because it's one divine author orchestrating it all. God's fingerprints are on every page of the Bible. This is one of the ways that God's greatness is on display, in the beauty of the Bible and the cohesiveness of the Bible. Third thing, God's greatness is in Scripture's power. Scripture has this way of transforming lives. This is how the Hebrews writer describes it in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And we know this. I mean, you read the Bible. You understand the Bible. And you understand how it, even though it's an ancient document, how it still speaks to the condition that you experience here and now. It's alive and it's active. Two ways that the Bible works in our life. In one very important way, it brings us encouragement when we're in despair. Now, how many times have you been drowning in uncertainty? Have you just been wondering about life, going through a difficult time in your life? And then you come to that scripture, and it's like it just helps you make sense of things. It gives you that comfort. It gives you that hope. It gives you that encouragement to make it through, to understand that God is present with you. The power of Scripture has that ability. Paul reflects on that in Romans chapter 14. He says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. All right, so when you're down, when you're out, you've all experienced that, right? Going through something difficult, you open the Bible, or maybe just scrolling on social media. I've done it before, and someone has posted a verse, and it's like, man, that was posted just for me in the situation that I find myself right now. And Scripture just brings this hope and this peace into my life. It's like God is speaking to me. That's what He's doing. He's saying, I'm with you. I understand you, like Stuart talked about in our communion meditation. I know what it's like to go what you're going through. I haven't forgotten you, and we're going to make this through. So that's the comfort edge. But at the same time, Scripture has this amazing power to convict us and correct us, to confront us. It exposes the sin. It exposes our weaknesses. This is not the fun part of reading Scripture, but you read Scripture, and if you only read it for the comfort and not for the conviction, then you're not reading the whole Bible. I mean, God wants us to confront the errors and the sin in our life because He knows it just interferes with this relationship. It challenges us. So sometimes we're uncomfortable with Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scriptures God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so sometimes we read the Bible and we feel uncomfortable because it's revealing something in our hearts, something that needs to be changed. Pride, selfishness, bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it may be. In one of my Bible reading groups that we've just concluded recently, we were going through some of the letters, first, I think it was the first, second, and third John, those letters. And in our conversation, someone said, you know what, I was really having a struggle with this, and I wasn't going to do this for this particular person, but then I read 1 John, and I felt convicted, and now I'm going to do what I pledged that I wasn't going to do. And that's how the Bible works. We read it, and God says, hey, you're on the wrong path. You're thinking the wrong way. You're harboring these bad thoughts. You're not doing what you're supposed to do, whatever it may be. And then we respond to it. It has that ability, not just to comfort us, but to convict us. And we need both edges, right? We need that hope. But hope without correction leads to complacency. And conviction without that hope leads to just despair. And God's Word provides the perfect balance. It's living and active, not was, but is, present tense. It's a historical document, but it is still living. It speaks today. It still transforms our lives right now. I've heard this countless times, this verse, this passage changed my life. God spoke to me through this passage. That is God. That's the Word of God. And I've heard so many people that have been reading the Bible for years and years in our Bible reading groups this past year. They come to a passage and they say, I've never seen it that way before. It had a unique and a new meaning to me. For whatever reason, maybe it's just something that they didn't comprehend. Maybe they saw it through the eyes of someone else, or maybe it was a situation in their life that it especially applied to. But the Word of God keeps speaking to us over and over again. It speaks to the person who first opens the Bible, and then it speaks to the person who has read the Bible over and over and over again in new ways that both comfort and convict us. A great God we have, right? This is an amazing, it is an amazing book, right? Did a funeral yesterday and I said, hey, I'm a minister and so I'm pretty fond of the Bible, so we're going to look at the Bible, right? It is an amazing book. We can't underestimate how wonderful and powerful this is. This great God is communicating with us in these powerful ways. But it's also a beautiful book. God's greatness in Scripture is just, it's beautifully written. Psalm 19 is a psalmist just reflects on the law of the Lord. He says, the law of the Lord, he says, man, I read it and it is perfect. I can't, there's no critique. There's no red marker that I can get out. You can run it through an AI program and the AI program say, hey, I can't improve this anymore. You know, I do that sometimes with documents. Can you kind of fix this up a little bit? And old AI comes back with all these corrections, you know. You could do this better, you could do that better. You know, tense was here wrong, misspelled words. You put the Bible through any program and just say, I don't know what I can do. And this is what the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect. He says, it is refreshing to the soul. Let me just say, if you're reading the Bible and it doesn't refresh your soul, you're reading it wrong. I mean, you're not understanding God. Right? It refreshes, it brings new life to us. He says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful book. The Bible is considered, it's the best-selling book of all time. It is considered one of the most influential books in all of literature. It has shaped Western culture, and even people who don't believe it's true, they acknowledge its literary power. If you have never read the Bible before, maybe God has brought you here, or you're checking in online, and you've never read the Bible, you need to read the Bible just for its literary power, and I believe that if you're open to God speaking to you, it is going to transform your life, right? Everyone, every human being should read the Bible. I mean, whether you want to believe in it or not, it is just that powerful. It is such an influence in our world. Let me just share a couple of personal reflections. I'm amazed at people who can write novels and write these stories and just create these worlds. And I'm thinking, how in the world did you do that? You know, some of you have read the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis. Haven't read through them all, but I mean, you see that, and it's like, how in the world did what? That's amazing that they created this world. I have to admit, I read through the Harry Potter books. It may reflect on my intellectual prowess there when I read Harry Potter and not the Narnia Legend. But I read that Harry Potter books. How in the world does someone do that? How do people create these worlds and they just suck you in to love those characters and get involved with those stories? It's incredible talent. I'm not a real poetry guy, never much. When poetry came up in our units in high school, not my favorite. But I do remember in poetry this one poet, Robert Frost. You probably heard of him, and his one poem, "The Road Not Taken." As a start off, two roads diverged into a yellow wood. I could not travel both. I think I had to memorize it at some point. I haven't now, but I remember reading that. I said, "How does someone do that? How does someone write a poem and just make me really seriously consider the decisions that I make in my life and what happens if I don't make a decision? I'm not courageous enough to make a decision, not bold enough." I mean, poetry has this amazing power. I'm astounded by composers who can create a symphony or a musical that moves me to tears. Have you ever done that? You sat in a musical house, what do they call those things, a playhouse or whatever, and you're just listening and hearing that music, and you're just blown away by it. Henry and I lived in Philadelphia in our early years of our marriage, pretty close to New York, so we went to New York on a few occasions, saw a couple of plays on Broadway, and again, I wasn't brought up going to plays. I mean, I was just I'm not a cultured person now, but I was even less cultured, if you can believe it. I was even less cultured back then, you know? And so we're going to go see Phantom of the Opera, right? Automatically, Phantom, opera, you know, I'm thinking, this is, I was totally ready for a snooze fest going to see this thing. And I'm sitting on Broadway in this, what do they call those playhouses? These theaters, yes. How eloquent you all are, yes. In this theater, and I'm like, what? At the end of the first, you know, the intermission, I'm like, I cannot believe what I just witnessed. And that's happened with other things as well. It is just amazing. Now, all of those are displays of human creativity and brilliance. They are gifts from God, but human gifts nonetheless. But here's what I want you to grasp. If we're amazed by what human authors can do, or what poets can do, or what composers can create, how much more astounded should we be by what God has done in the pages of Scripture? And I have to admit to you, sometimes I don't appreciate Scripture as much as I should. Sometimes we've become so familiar with Scripture, we don't even recognize. This is the God, this great God that we talked about as we introduced this series, this God that created the heavens and the earth, this vast cosmos that we experience, that we live in. He has spoken to us. And so sometimes we need to be reminded of how powerful and amazing this book is. This book has greater power than poetry, than musicals, than anything else. It changes lives. It transforms them. I know it has changed so many lives here. It turns enemies of God into children of God. It turns hateful people into loving people. It turns despairing people into hope-filled people. It is a book that has given hope to millions of people across thousands of years. It's an amazing book. It has preserved people through persecution, poverty, illness, grief, injustice. People have opened this book and have found a reason to keep going, to keep believing. This book calls us to action. It calls us to fight injustice. It calls us to care for the poor. It calls us to feed the hungry. It calls us to heal the sick. It calls us to spread the gospel, sometimes at great personal cost, even to the point of death. But this book, unlike any book in human history, has done that. This book has brought about so many of the wonderful and beautiful things that we see in this world. And it's no wonder, because it is God speaking and inspiring us. God Himself, the one who invented language, who created our minds, who understands the depths of the human heart, is speaking to us. So when we read the Bible, we're not just reading human words about God, we're reading God's word to us. And that's why it's still changing lives. Isn't it amazing? What other book has this much power over this much time. The greatness of human creativity points us to something even greater, the creativity and power and love of God displayed in Scripture. And again, scholars can spend a lifetime exploring it and still discover new insights, but it's simple enough even for a child to understand the beauty and the wonder of God. A God who speaks is a great God, and our God speaks. He speaks to us. He speaks to us. He speaks to us beautifully and powerfully. So how do we respond? God's greatness is displayed in Scripture. He refuses to remain silent. He gives us all of these different genres to reach all different types of people. It is powerful and it's beautiful. So what do we do first? You need to read it regularly. You need to appreciate it and understand it and just treasure it. God went through extraordinary lengths to communicate this word, and human beings have given their lives to preserve this book. So commit to reading it daily. Study it deeply. Second, study it deeply. Just don't read it, but dig in. Ask questions. Use study tools. Get in a Bible study group. The more you study, the more you discover. The more you learn about the mind of God, the heart of God revealed in Scripture, the more it's going to transform you. Third, believe it fully. Trust that God's Word is true. All of it. Let Scripture shape your worldview. All right, we listen to too many messages from the world that is making us understand or think or view this world through those lenses. We need to go to the Bible and truly believe it, that this is what is true. This is how the world actually operates. And then we need to trust God's Word by faithfully obeying it. James 1:22, don't merely listen to the Word, do what it says. When Scripture convicts you, repent and change. When it commands you to love, love. When it tells you to serve, serve. So obey it faithfully. And then fifth, share it boldly. This good news is too good to keep to ourselves. Share verses that have encouraged you, whether it be in these text messages or social media, however it is, with your friends at work, with your friends at school. Just share it. Invite people to read the Bible with you. Trust that God's Word is powerful. And that's our part. We need to listen. So make sure you appreciate this book here. This is the actual Word of God. Read it with fresh eyes, understanding that God is speaking to us. It will comfort you when you're hurting. It'll convict you when you're straying. And it will transform you day by day. God is a great God who speaks to us. God has spoken. The question is, are we listening? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much that you did not give us a silent treatment. Father, we know how much that hurts. We know how offended we are. We know how that creates worry and doubt and distance and anxiety in our lives. But you chose to speak to us in your word. Speak clearly and powerfully and beautifully through your word. And so, Father, forgive us for the times that we've ignored what you have said. Forgive us for letting our Bibles gather dust while we search for answers everywhere else. Father, open our eyes to see your greatness revealed in Scripture. Father, produce within us a real hunger to read it. Father, help us to have wisdom to understand it and apply it, and then give us the courage to believe it and the strength to obey it, always trusting that these words are from the Creator of the universe, spoken out of your goodness, your love, and your mercy. So help us spend time in your word. Speak to us, comfort us, convict us, transform us by the power of your truth. Father, we love you and thank you so much for speaking to us. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. Speak.